Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we once again thank Thee for the opportunity we have to come and worship Thee and praise Thee and thank Thee for all the blessings we have. We can never think of all the blessings, but help us always to remember that the greatest blessing we have is Jesus, Thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, and the resurrection of life. And, O Lord, we thank Thee that in spite of our weakened condition, in spite of our being by nature dead in trespasses and sins, Thou hast come and touched our lives in the person of Thy Holy Spirit and given us spiritual life and made us aware of those things that Thou hast done for us, and especially those things that have, that are done, and will be done by Thy Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us to praise Him for that which He has done. Be with us, we pray, in the service this morning. Help us to worship in spirit and truth. Especially bless Thy servant to preach Thy word and Thy people to hear and understand. May it glorify Thee and edify Thy people. And this we ask in the worthy and precious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. And amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17. And I want to read the first 8 verses. Matthew chapter 17 and the first 8 verses. Now, while some of you might be turning to that, I want to mention one thing. And this began to be on my heart sometime last week, the latter part of last week. Usually I've been blessed to think of these things more, but so I do check my notes to see if I preached it here, and I found out that I had. And I looked over those notes, and evidently from what I could gather there, I didn't read every word there, but I just scanned them, and it seems like that I didn't preach anything that I want to try to preach this morning from this. And that tells me there are many things in the passages of Scripture like this that we get one lesson today, another one tomorrow, maybe another one the next day, and so forth, as the Lord blesses us to see those things. But again, I want to preach the Lord being my helper, Matthew 17 and the first 8 verses. These verses read, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." And I trust the Lord will bless us to consider some of the thoughts that are contained in this passage of Scripture. It's obvious that this particular passage of Scripture, the subject under consideration, is the miraculous, I guess you surely say, transfiguration of Christ. Now, the overall points in this lesson, just to give you, I won't get all of them, but just to get a general concept again. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, 3 of his apostles, to a high mountain. And they were in that high mountain, they were evidently isolated from the things of this world. Now, it reminded me of a text I used 2 Sundays or 3 Sundays ago, and I don't remember just exactly which one it was, so Just remember, I don't criticize y'all for not remembering everything, because I don't myself. But in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9, it says, let me turn over and read that. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9. O Zion, thou that bringest good tidings. Now just stop right there. And I'm going to leave out some things in that verse, but on purpose. But O Zion, thou that bringest good tidings. Now, it goes to say, get thee up into the high mountain. O Zion, thou that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. And then it goes on to say, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And one of the things I tried to preach that Sunday was, in order for us to tell others, behold your God, then we have to get up into the high mountains. That is, we have to live up above the things of this world. I don't say that in the sense that you're people that live in gross sin or anything of a sense. I think you're people that strive to live godly and holy lives. There's no doubt in my mind about that. We all err in some ways. And yet at the same time, how many of us can say that our minds have not been on all the protesting, destruction, and things that have been going on in some of the large cities? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I would think every one of us has had to think some things about that, because it's been, you might say, pressed on us from the news media in one way or another. And I won't go any further than that. Might like to make a few comments here and there, but I don't have a soapbox up here, so I'm not going to do that. But the fact is, those things have been on my mind. Now, what I'm saying is, we have to get above that. We have to put those things behind us to some degree. Get up to the high mountain. Get up way above those things. And that is, above the things of this world. Like in the kingdom of God. And then, when we're up above the high mountain, then people can look at us and say, we're sincere and serious in what we mean when we say, behold your God. Now listen, brothers and sisters. They beheld God. And they not only, they beheld God that in a way that no other man has beheld Jesus, except maybe Moses when he was there in the wilderness and he on Mount Sinai, and he saw the hinder parts of God, and he saw God, maybe Jesus, more glorious than Peter, James, and John did on that particular day. But they beheld some of the glory of God. They could not have done it. Jesus would not have shown to them while they were on the streets of Jerusalem or whatever town he may have been near at that time, but he took them up to a high mountain. And on that high mountain, they were able to see something of the glory of God. All right? Jesus began to radiate light. Now, radiate is one of the definitions of some of these words in this passage of Scripture. I can't remember for sure which one it was, but remember the word radiate. Now, his face did shine as the sun. I can't imagine how bright that was. And his clothing was bright as light. That is, I would tend to think his whole body, from his head to his feet, then light began to radiate from his body. And as that light radiated from his body, then his clothes were as white as snow. That's not the way he explains it there. But they were as white as light. That's even whiter than snow, by the way. Alright. Now, and then during that time, Moses and Elijah appeared. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it says Elias, but Elias is from a Greek version of the Hebrew name Elijah. And so Moses and Elijah appeared. Luke wrote that they appeared in glory. By the way, this same lesson is found in Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9. I'm not going to refer to that other than this. And that is, Luke was inspired to write that they also appeared in glory. They were glorious in their appearance also, though surely less glorious than Jesus was. Now, but this supports the doctrine of the resurrection. I never thought about this. Moses died. God buried him. Elijah did not die. He was taken up in a whirlwind. And we don't know about him. We don't know anything, whether it was Moses' bodily resurrection or not. We don't know, but we would tend to think that it was. But this supports the doctrine of the resurrection. But they represent, Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets. Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, one of the great prophets. Peter wanted to make three tabernacles for them. I just thought as I read that just a moment ago. What's a tabernacle? A temporary building, a temporary structure. Now, that's what Peter said. But when Peter said that, a bright cloud appeared, and there was a voice out of the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And then, when the disciples heard that, they were greatly afraid, and they fell on their faces. I can picture them in my mind. They were on their knees with their faces to the ground, and their hands cupping their face, hands on the ground and cupping their face. But Jesus touched them and told them, "Be not afraid." Now you can imagine Jesus just reaching down in a gentle touch, touched all three of them, said, "Don't be afraid." And so they lifted up their eyes and they saw Jesus alone. Now, they saw what the law and the prophets taught. That is the end of them. The end of them was Jesus Christ. Moses and Elijah were men, but Jesus was then and is now God. Now, here's the question. Can we do what Jesus did? Can we do what Jesus did? Well, our answer would be no. We cannot do what Jesus did. But, oh yes, we can do what Jesus did. Now let me explain this. But certainly not to the same degree. That is, I can't stand up before you and say, "Okay, I'm going to start shining light and, come through my clothes and whatever." If I could do that, probably sometimes I could say, "Look what I could do." But I can't do that. You can't do that. We can't do that. No one else can do that other than Jesus. But oh yes, we can do what Jesus did, but certainly not to the same degree. His clothing was as the light. Now think about this. His clothing was as the light. Now I don't all the time mention Greek words, but sometimes I think they're important. And the word light is translated from a Greek word which is phos. P-H-O-S. P-H-O-S. Now remember that. Jesus' face did shine, and the Greek word for shine is lampo. L-A-M-P-O. I'm sure you can figure out what word we get from lampo. Remove the O, and I'm sure you've already figured out before I told you that. But his face did shine. And the word shine, again, is translated from the Greek word lampo. Alright? Turn with me over a few pages to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Where Jesus said, the previous verse, he told them that they were the light of the world. Now verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." All right, now what did Jesus tell them? The first few words, "Let your light so shine." Now, the word light is translated from the same Greek word, phos. Now, I'm sure you could figure out that the word phos, I'll spell it P-H-O-S, is a root word for a element that's in our universe called phosphorus. And phosphorus is something, if I'm not mistaken, at least used to be in matches, and when it burns, it gives off a very bright light. And so, that's what we are. And that's so we, our light is to shine. And then, the word shine is translated from the very same Greek word, which is lampo, which means to beam or to radiate light. That's where that comes from. I mentioned that word radiate earlier. The word lampo means to beam or to radiate light. Now, these lights we have on, especially those in the middle part of there, those in the ceiling and those on the wall, then they're limited, but these chandeliers we have with the lights on, they send light in every direction. And so that's the idea. They beam or radiate light. And when I thought about the word radiate, it made me think of another word called radio. radio. Well, what does radio have to do with this, with radiating light? Well, there's an old country gospel song. I can remember. Well, let me ask you this. This is not a trick question. I don't ask trick questions to just put you down. I don't do that. Okay? All right, how many ever heard the old gospel song, country gospel song, Turn Your Radio On? All right. A lot of you heard that song. Maybe just the vast majority of you heard the one I heard sing was Andy Griffith. So now I just started thinking about it. And I decided to go to YouTube this morning while I was studying and just turn your radio on. Well, it was the Statler Brothers. And those are men that really love the Lord. And they really wanted to sing to this praise. And I remember I listened to How Great Thou Art from them one time. And they said, well, they won a talent contest in their high school. They were in the gymnasium where when they sang. And they started singing it there and transferred to something else, some other place. But they love the Lord. They said one song they get more requested from is How Great Thou Art. Now, I listen to them sing Turn Your Radio On. Now, I won't get into all the things, but I remember one of the things is turn the lights down low. Well, what has that got to do with it? Well, as you turn the lights down low, the vision of so many other things just kind of fades away. And you got your radio on. Now, Catherine and I, yesterday evening, last night, we came back from East Georgia for a couple of things that were over there. You know, we got granddaughter's birthday party. You can't miss that. You just can't miss that. Y'all know about that. Those of you who have grandchildren, you know, that's absolutely a must. But the fact is that we listen to the radio and we hear some good Christian music. We heard some good words of thought by Christian men and whatever. We get a lot of good things there. We get the radio from, let's see, Milner, Georgia, Macon, Georgia, Vidalia, Georgia, and then Gibson, Georgia, and then returning on the same way. And we get that. Now, what's the radio? What's the radio got to do? Well, think about what a radio is. A radio, when you turn it on and you have it to the right frequency, then whether it's Milner, Macon, Vidalia, or wherever, when you have it to the right frequency, then it's picking up a sound from somewhere else. And then it's playing the sound to you. Now, to me, that's got a lot to do with our Christian service. And that is, the Lord has given us great blessings. And those blessings that the Lord has given us, we're to tell others about that. And so, in one way, we're like a radio. God has blessed us greatly. And we're to tell others of the greatness that He's given us. And so, the Lord help us to do that. So, God help us always remember, turn your radio on. And that's one of the ways we're to live our lives. Now, can we do what Jesus did? Yes. But certainly not in the same degree. Jesus was letting His light shine in a way that we can't. But we have a light within us. And that light that is within us, we are to let that light shine. We are to radiate that light in all directions as much as we possibly can. All right? The big thing that we think about in this passage of Scripture, that is in Matthew chapter 17, is that Jesus was transfigured. Jesus was transfigured. And the word transfigured is translated from a Greek word, which is metamorphao. Metamorphao. And it is where we get a scientific term or biological term called metamorphosis. That is, a caterpillar becomes a moth or a butterfly. I think with butterflies or moths, as far as I know, the process is the same. Maybe not all of them have cocoons, and I don't know about that. But nevertheless, it is the same. A caterpillar becomes either a moth or a butterfly. Now, how does that happen? Well, I'm not scientifically aware of the details about that. But the only thing I can say concerning that is that butterfly or that moth, however beautiful, however plain it may be, some are more beautiful than others, but that butterfly, a moth, somehow is within that caterpillar. And somehow there's a scientific change there, which again, I'm not prepared to tell you. And if someone told me, I surely wouldn't understand. It'd be way, way up above me. But the fact is that somehow that butterfly, or that moth, is within that caterpillar, and the caterpillar turns into the adult form of butterfly or moth. All right, and so this is in this case, something that was in Jesus, the glory that was always within Jesus, by the way. This is not the only time that it was in Jesus. I would tend to think it was in Jesus when he was in the womb of his mother, Mary, Mother Mary. I would think all the time that he was a child and went in his ministry, when he walked among men, all the time that he did that, the glory of God was within him. But on this particular time, and the only time that we find in the scriptures that glory that was in him, that he allowed it or to shine out, and so that Peter, James, and John could see that glory for one particular. So that which was within Jesus was manifested. Now, can we do that? Well, we would say no. But turn with me to another passage of Scripture, and that's the book of Romans. It's familiar to most of you, I'm sure. Chapter 12, and I want to read the first two verses. Romans chapter 12 and the first two verses. And these two verses read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. The word transformed there. Transfigured, transformed. The word transformed is translated from the very same Greek word as transfigured in Matthew chapter 17. Now, there is something that is within us, and we are to manifest it in our lives. Now, if you'll notice in this passage of Scripture, there are always things that I notice when I read that I hadn't noticed before, but let's see. By the mercy that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And as we live, like part of being transformed is a living the will of God, and then we prove to ourselves what is that good and perfect and good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That is, we prove it to ourselves. We find out that, listen, God's ways are indeed better. We may not understand it until we try it, but God, we'll find that God's ways are better. Listen, brothers and sisters, something is within us, and we ought to manifest it. The glory of God is within us. The glory of God is within us. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That is the living Word mentioned in John chapter 1, first three verses. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now listen, brothers and sisters, I think one of the things that passage of Scripture says is that the glory of God is, or part of the glory of God is, that Jesus came down as a man. The Word of God, God Himself, God manifest in the flesh, came down and became man. And walked among men. And then not just that, but His death, His burial, and resurrection. That is the glory of God, because that's what Jesus has done for us. That's where we glory. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, think about these words, if you will. For in Him, by the way, the word Christ is the last word in the previous verse. For in Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, that's an amazing thing. That's certainly beyond my comprehension. And then in John chapter 1, verse 16. Let me get over there and make sure I get that one right. John chapter 1, verse 16. Well, and of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Now notice, remember I read from Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then John was inspired to write, and of his fullness have we received. Not all of it, but some of it. A portion of the fullness of God is within us. Now don't ask me to explain that. Catherine knows the lady of whom I'm speaking. She's a very fine Christian lady. She loves the Lord. She wants to know much as she can about the truth of God. But I made a statement about something going over people's heads. I won't get into all that just to make this a little shorter. But she got the idea that I was saying, this is over your head. Now, and that's not what I said. So we have this joke thing that, you know, this is over your head or whatever. One of us, when we meet one another, and I don't know when that will be, but when we meet one another, one of us will say, that was over your head. That's just going to happen. There are a few things that just don't happen. That's one of them. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When I think about the transfiguration of Christ and some of these other verses of Scripture, that's over my head. See, and God has called me to preach things that are over my head, that are really beyond my comprehension. And yet, from time to time, I need to preach those things. God has called on us to preach those things. Now, and so, listen, again, we have a measure of the fullness of the Godhead bodily within us. Jesus is within us. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 mentions the inner man. The inner man. Well, I can look out at one of you and see the outer man. There's your faces and so forth, your bodies, your clothed bodies and whatever. So, yeah, we can. Alright, so there's no doubt you have an outer man. If I were in a restaurant somewhere and someone on the other side of the restaurant was sitting there, I'd never seen that person, didn't know that person's Madam's house cat, and I never saw that person again, and I wouldn't know a thing that that person was saying. It would be rather obvious that that person has an outer man, because that person is a human being. Whether that person is male or female, that person is a human being. But when someone begins to act in a spiritual way and mention spiritual things, and show the fruit of the Spirit, we say, that person has an inner man. The inner man of the Spirit of God. And now, what is that inner man? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, at the end of the verse, there's a few words that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ again is within us. And that the hope of glory is within us. And so, brothers and sisters, we manifest our light by living the life of Jesus Christ the Lord. And we show Jesus in our lives when we praise Him. Whether we praise Him with our thoughts, or with our words, or with our actions, or all of the above, whatever the case may be, when we show Jesus in our lives when we praise Him, and whatever way we may praise Him. Now, again, the same question. Can we do what Jesus did? Well, the obvious answer is yes, but certainly not to the same degree. But when we do, Jesus is glorified. When we do, when we manifest the life of Jesus that is within us, then Jesus is glorified. Listen, brothers and sisters, may God bless us to first turn our radios on. We need to turn our radios on. We receive blessings from God, and then we tell others about what God has done for us and praise God. And as we do that, we let our light shine. And when we do that, we manifest the life of Jesus that is within us. The Lord help us to do so, is my prayer for Christ's sake.